Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you through the name, through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we ask for your touch upon our lives, Lord. Father, lead us where you will go. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we will go where you're leading. So Lord, I pray this morning you would touch each and every one of us. Lord, bring us from glory to glory. Let your word have its perfect work done in each and every one of us. Pray for that anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, Lord. So much bondage today, Lord. I pray it through the name, through the blood of Jesus. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise God. Today's Bible study is called Change. Change. How many of you are happy with the changes that God has brought about in your life? I would say pretty much everybody would say, yeah, I'm very pleased with the changes God has brought about in my life. None of us would be satisfied following Christ and there was no change. We were still that same old person, that babe in Christ, as it were. We want change. We desire change. We have to have change. If there's no change, then how sorrowful a bunch of people we really would be. So we do desire change, but we want change not that the world brings, but the change that God brings into a life of a believer. Amen? Now, compare with salamanders and starfish, mammals have a dismal limited ability to replace lost parts. But now reports of children growing back fingertips and spleens are changing that. In 1974, Cynthia Inglesworth, an English physician specializing in emergency medicine, discovered that when children accidentally severed the fingertip down to the first joint, the best treatment is no treatment. Clean and cover with a bandage, the fingertip, including the nail, will grow back in about 11 to 12 weeks. The new fingertip usually looks as though nothing has ever happened to it. I can testify to that. When I was a child, about 5 years old, I jumped into a pile of glass. It was covered with snow, and I split my arm wide open. And my mother and father wanted to take me to the emergency room to get stitches. And I cried and said, please, no, I don't want stitches. I don't want to go. So what they did is they wrapped my arm up in bandages for about a week or so. And when they took the bandages off, there's not even a scar on my arm. So it seems to be three requirements for regrowth. The patient must be under 12 years old. The cut must be above the crease of the first joint. And surgeons, third, most importantly, surgeons must keep their hands off the injury. And any operation performed on the finger destroys its ability to grow back. Wow. Something to think about. Now, the last condition is the hardest to accept and implement, admits Dr. Michael Bleacher, a pediatric surgeon at Mount Sinai Hospital. We as doctors have a hard time to change our way in doing things. Now, that's a problem for the Christian who's been saved for many years. We become spiritually and comparatively to that of an old person set in our ways. It's hard to change our thoughts and allow the kingdom of God to bring change about in our lives. Yes, the Holy Spirit has many tools at his disposal, and one of the biggest is the Word of God. Are we allowing the kingdom to change us? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit and all the tools at his disposal to change us? Are we resisting change? Especially as an old Christian. If you've been in the Lord any length of time, you've been saved for any number of years, sometimes we get set in our ways. And we think we know what God's going to do next. And it's never that way. We think, well, he did it this way before, he must going to be doing it this way again. And I've never seen that ever happen. Usually the Lord loves to surprise and say, look, I'm not a one-trick pony here. I have many, many ways of doing things. And there are, and because we're so complex as people, how I did it for Arlene, that may not be how I do it for Barbara. And how I did it for Barbara may not be the way I do for Pastor Bob and for Katie. So we have to say, Holy Spirit, here am I. Do what you need to do. Bring about change in my life. Amen. I don't want to be stiff-necked. I don't want to be set in my ways. I want you to make me pliable. Don't let me be like I am in my old age. You know, I have to have routine in my life. I have to have certain things because that's the way I'm used to it. In God's kingdom, it's not that way. We have to be childlike. We have to say, Lord, here am I. If you're going to show me something new, then show me. If you're going to do something new in my life, then do it. Don't let me think this is the way it has to be. Amen? So allowing change to happen is God's biggest thing in our lives, especially as we get older in Christ. Now, when I say get older in Christ, you might have gotten saved at the age of 5. You might have gotten saved at the age of 99. It depends how long you are in the Lord. That's the age we're talking about. We're not talking about physical age, because I know a bunch of people who are senior citizens and just got saved. Okay, that makes them babes in Christ, even though they're senior citizens. And I know some children who got saved at an early age and now are maybe in their preteens, and they're old souls. They've been saved. They've been through the fire. They've been through the flood, and they've had some change in their life. But it's hard for a Christian to say, Holy Spirit, do what you got to do. Don't let me tell you how to do it, because you have so many tools. You have so many ways. Let the kingdom of God come anew to me. Don't let me decide how it should be done or when it should be done. You do what you do best. Now, Mark chapter 10, verse 15 says this. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So it's important that we allow God as a little child to do what he's going to do. Because if we don't enter the kingdom, allow the kingdom to come the way God wants it to come, it won't come. Okay? Lord, this is the way you've always done it, so this is what I expect. No. What we should be saying is, Lord, whatever you got to do, however you got to do it, whenever you got to do it, Lord, do it. Amen? Barbara, I got a question for you. What's that in the aisle?
Because it's driving me crazy. What is that? Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what it was. I thought someone dropped a chocolate chip.
But it doesn't match
anymore. Oh, exactly. Sure.
It doesn't match anymore.
And I didn't want to miss out on that. No, I'm joking. Praise God. Now, if we were to turn to 1 Thessalonians
chapter 5, verse 5, it says this. Ye are all the children of light. So it doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord. We need to be childlike. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Think about that. We are children. In God's sight, we will always be children. As parents and grandparents, our children and grandchildren will always be children. I don't know about you, but when I dream about my kids, I always dream about them never as adults. Never. Always as children. Same with my grandchildren. They're still kids. My grandson has just turned 19, yes, and I got married at 19. That makes them an adult. But when I dream about them, I always dream about them as children. I don't know if anybody has the same experience, but when I dream about them, I dream as them as children. I wonder if that's how God sees us. No matter how old we get, he sees us as children. I remember one time the Lord was showing me when he asked us to come and do work with him, and I saw him with sweat on his brow, and he was pushing this great big lawnmower, and there I was alongside because he asked me to come and work with him. You know those little plastic lawnmowers you give a little three-year-old? And I'm pushing, thinking I'm doing something great, and all he did was to swell out, sweat off his brow because he's actually doing the work, is smile at me. And I understood. I ain't doing the work. Just because he asked me to come in, it's him doing the work through me. Amen? So we need to understand, we got to be childlike with God. We need to say, God, Lord, I know this is how you did it in the past, but Lord, I want to be childlike. I want to be that pliable person in your hand. So if you're going to do something new, Lord, don't let me tell you how to do it. Don't let me tell you, Lord, you just do it and show me something new. Show me something spectacular. Show me how many tools you really do have. Amen. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some people will change when they see the light. Others change when they only feel the heat. Ooh, let me read that again. Some people will change when they see the light, and others only change when they feel the heat. Depends on who you are. Depends on who you are. Depends on the situation. Depends on the thing that you're facing, the thing that you're going through. Sometimes you just need the light and the change takes place. And sometimes you need to feel the heat. And then change happens, depending on who you are. Amen? Change will come. But again, we need to study the Word of God. This is His kingdom. Everything in it will bring change if we allow it to. Well, I've read that a million times before, but you know what? I'm reading it anew today. Something the Holy Spirit showed me, something new. Now, me and my son were having a discussion the other day, and he was talking about some of the Old Testament with me in Isaiah, and I'll go on. I'll share that with all of you. But he was saying, hey, Dad, you know this scripture? I said, yeah, I know it by heart. He goes, do you know what the root word is in this? And I said, you mean in Hebrew? And he goes, yeah. I said, no, I can't actually, because he likes to study Hebrew, Greek, and different languages, but especially scripture. He showed me what the word said, and it blew me away. I said, yeah, but I know reading it in English, it says one thing, but the Hebrew word has two separate meanings. And I don't know why they chose this meaning when actually this one fits so much better. And I'll go into that. But it brought change to me. I said, wow, I've always known that scripture. I thought as solidly as I possibly could, this is what it means. But when he brought up the root word in Hebrew, a change took place. I said, wow, new eyes, I see it differently. I said, wow, I need to bring this to church and share it with the congregation. And so all of you are going to hear something fantastic and great that my son shared with me. Amen. Amen. Now, if we were to turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, I want to read that again. Some people will change when they see the light. Others change when they feel the heat. So we got to ask ourselves, which one of those are we? It's not always in every area either. Sometimes we need to feel the heat. And sometimes in other areas, we only need to see the light. We go, I get it. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18, verse 1, excuse me. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Well, where is the potter's house? Anybody want to take a guess? This is the potter's house. This is what brings change. If we will sit upon this potter's wheel, which I'm padding right now, is the Bible, His Word. This is the potter's house. This is where change takes place. As lumps of clay, we need to sit upon this potter's house, this wheel, this book of change, because it will change us. Because when the Master gets a hold of us, He will change us from glory to glory, if we will allow Him to. Amen? The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Where are we going to hear God's words? The Bible. Amen? Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make. Now, let's Let's face it. When we come to the Lord as lumps of clay, we're marred. We're marred. Life has marred us. The way we were raised has marred us. Things in this life mar us. But if we sit on the potter's wheel and allow God to mold us and shape us and do what he needs to do, he'll make something glorious out of these lives of ours. Amen? Amen. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel, and the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do to you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as clay as in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. How much more as Christians? How much more as Christians? He's talking to Israel. We are grafted into the vine. We are grafted into the people of the Old Testament. We're grafted in. Once a vessel is put into a kiln, there is no turning back. The only time change can happen is when the vessel is still in the hands of the potter. After this, the only good thing that can happen to the vessel after it's become kilned and hardened is it for it to be broken and be reformed into something useful and beautiful. How many times have we said that? Lord, into your hands. I've been hardened by this world. I've seen too much. I know too much. I have experienced both good and evil. I have dwelt in the kingdom of darkness, and I have been grafted into the kingdom of light. But Lord, I'm so hard. Lord, the things that have happened in my life, it's at that point that the Lord will take that vessel and break it. We need to say, Lord, into your hands, I deliver myself. I deliver, and he will break us and shape. And you ever see somebody who's ever taken, I think they do it in Japan, they'll take a broken vessel, and then they will take gold and put it back together. And the veins of gold make that vessel something absolutely spectacular, great value. I've seen it many, many times where they'll take a broken vessel and they'll bring it to the jeweler or whoever does this particular work. They could be potters for all I know. And they will put it back together and you'll see gold in between the broken pieces. And it becomes so much more valuable, becomes so much more useful. It's put up as a display. It's put up as the display item in a shop or in a household, in a cabinet, in a some of them are so beautiful, they're in museums. Imagine that. But that's what God does to us when we allow him to break us. If we come to him early enough, we could still be molded. But a lot of us have been through the fires of this life, and it has hardened us in so many areas. And as I said, not all areas in your heart and your spirit are hardened. You're still able to be molded by God. He's still working on it. But there's other parts of our heart, of our spirit, our life, that are just too hard. Life has just done something. It's those parts that God is able to break and reshape and remold. And the gold of his word makes it something beautiful, something useful, something spectacular. So it's important to allow that change to take place, which his word does provide. Amen? Now in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. So despite in whatever condition you might find yourself, today, or when you first got saved, or in the future, present your bodies. Lord, I'm still pliable in some areas. Other areas, Lord, I am not pliable. I'm hard. I need you to break, oh God, those areas in my life and apply your word to me, oh God. Change me from glory to glory. Lord, let me not remain the same. So we desire change so much. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you. What does it mean to beseech? I beg you. I implore you. I am really chasing you down on this. That I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because this is the only way it comes, is by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in whatever condition it is. And then you're talking about your bodies, not talking just your physical body. He's talking your spiritual being, your, who you are. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. See, the biggest part happening in the church today, it's being conformed by the world. That's why we see more than half the church, I used to say half, more than half the church has gone to that social gospel. They're conforming to the world and what the world says is good, what the world says is evil, but the prophets of old warned, good would be evil and evil would be good, but they don't hear anymore. They're going, nah, 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 nah. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. They're like the monkeys. Hear no evil, see no evil. And speaking the word is evil. So they go, we speak no evil. Wow. Be not conformed to this world, because the world will do a number on you. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. How so? Right here. The word of God. The word of God. For I say, through grace given unto me, that to every man among you, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So we each have a different measure of faith. Can we ask for more? Yes. Can we ask for less? You can, but you'll never get it. You'll never get it. Faith does not, God will not allow it to go down. Will the world? Will Satan? Oh, yeah. He will drain you of faith. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do you. Do it. I always ask God, give me more faith. I remember the man. Lord, Lord, he throws himself into the fire and he tries to kill himself. Lord, help my faith. Build me up. I think about the man that was blind and Jesus had to touch him the first time. He says, what do you see? Well, I see men as trees. What he was doing was building up his faith. Basically, he was asking him, now do you believe that I can do what I've said I can do? And the man was saying, I now see men as trees. And the Lord touched them again because faith came into them. And the Lord is able to bring faith into a person. For I say, through grace given to me, every man is among you, think not more highly of himself than he ought to think. I wish the TV evangelist would see this. But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Other than life surrendered to the kingdom of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit, do not expect others to help you in changes. God needs to do it in your life. No one else is going to bring change into your life. They'll point it out. Hey, you need to change. You need to stop thinking that way. Hey, you know, but to bring real change, only God, the Holy Spirit, can bring into a person. He is preparing the bride for the bridegroom. So he will bring about change in us. You need to take that filthy garment off, the way you're thinking, the way your heart is. Take that filthy garment off and put this on instead. Righteousness and holiness. Put this way of thinking on. Put this way of, and that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He will bring about a change in us. And it's usually, and then one of his biggest tools is the Word of God to bring it about. Amen. Again, this is talking about a doctor, a man who was very sick, went to the doctor. And the doctor said to the patient, you are in terrible shape. You've got to do something about it. He goes, I know. First, tell your wife to cook you more nutritious meals. No more frozen dinners. Stop working 60 hours a week. And also, I need you to inform your wife that you're going to go golfing more often. You need to relax and go more golfing. And have her keep the kids off your back so you can relax and be in a relaxed atmosphere to renew your mind and body. Unless there are some changes in your life, young man, you'll probably be dead within a month. Doc, said the patient, this would sound more official coming from you. Could you please call my wife and give her those instructions? Here's her phone number. Well, the fellow got home, and his wife rushed to him. I talked to your doctor, she cried. My poor husband, you've only got 30 days to live. Don't expect others to bring change into your life. Only you can allow the Holy Spirit to do so, okay? No one's going to come up alongside you and say, let me do it for you. Let me shoulder that burden for you. No, it's not going to happen. And if it does, it's very rare indeed. Now, Psalms 51 in the New King James Version says this, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Again, renew a steadfast spirit in me. Sometimes change is just a simple renewing within us. Renew my faith, O God. Renew. Make it new again. I've become hard in this area. I've been thinking like the world lately. Lord, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Oh, who's that knocking at our door? Oh, it's the pastor's wife. Who's that knocking at our door? It's Lori. Oh, because of the humidity. Yeah. Again, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is indeed a daunting one. And I don't envy the Holy Spirit with all the different people he has to deal with. Amen. There's a little poem, and I liked it very much, so I stuck it in here. I took a piece of clay, and I idly fashioned it one day. As my fingers pursued it still, it moved and yielded at my will. It came of age when days were past, and the piece of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it, it still bore, but I could change it no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day. I molded it with power and art. The young child soft and yield with a child young, soft and yielding heart. I came again when years were gone, and it was a man I looked upon. He still had an early impressed war he had wore, and I could change him nevermore. Only God in heaven could do more than I. See, change can only come from God. So as much as we want change in our life, as much as we want God, look, this isn't lining up with your word. I'm sitting on this potter's wheel called your word. Lord, but there's some areas in my heart and spirit that are so hard. You need to break me. You need to change me. I just can't allow change to come. I don't know why. But other areas, Lord, yeah, it comes easily. Yeah, I can see. Oh, yeah, I can apply that to my life. I can do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, there's other areas. I'm so hard. I've been through so much. I've been through the fire. Definitely. I've been through the flood. And Lord, I just can't easily change. You need to break me. You need to and do something beautiful. Change me, Lord. Do what you need to do. Amen? So most Christians are looking for big change when the rapture occurs. How many of you know that when the rapture occurs, big changes come? Amen? Amen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we will be changed, okay? 1 Corinthians verse 15, verse 51, it says, "Behold, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." We shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and that's faster than you can even imagine, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In victory, amen? So we realize that the big change is going to happen when the rapture takes place. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more tears. We'll have glorified bodies. God will be sin has no more place. Satan can no longer tempt us. We'll be in a place of total change. This flesh will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know how many of you are waiting for that change. I know that I am. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly. I don't like living in this world. I don't like living with these conditions. I don't like getting old. I don't like the pains and aches that come with it. I don't like this, that, and the other. I don't like what I see going on in my government. I don't like what I see happening in the churches. I don't like what I see taking place and grabbing the hold of this generation. Good news, Holy Spirit's moving. I see Barbara's granddaughter, what a change. I hear of the testimonies that are happening. My own grandchildren are fighting on the good fight, and no one's turned away, and everyone, and this is wonderful. But I want big change. How many of you want big change? How many of you are waiting for the rapture? That person there is, and that one there. Okay, good. Everyone wants it. So this is what me and my son were discussing, and how it changed my perspective is when he brought out the root word of the Hebrew word, okay? So if we would turn to Isaiah chapter 57, and I'll show you the word that gave me a new perspective. And I think it'll change you as well. I'll read it the way it's written in King James, and then I'll give you the change that the Hebrew word brings to it. Amen? Because there's two ways, and they chose one way. But I think they should have chose the other way when they wrote it. Okay? Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perisheth. Look at that word, perisheth. The righteous perisheth. No man layeth to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from evil to come. And he shall enter into peace, and shall enter, and they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Okay, now I'm going to give you one word, and it's going to change the perspective of this whole scripture. One word, one change, like my son did to me. And that word is perisheth. Perisheth has two words in the Hebrew. Okay? James was here, I'd have him put it up. Huh? No, the Hebrew isn't there. For the one word, perisheth. Okay? It's in Hebrew, it says abad. Abad. Can you say abad? Hebrew. Okay? Again, behold, I show you a mystery. No, that's the wrong one. The righteous shall abad. What? Abad? A-B-A-D. Just like it sounds. Abad. Okay, how do we pronounce it? Abad. A-W-B-A-D. Okay? What does it mean? Has two references. The first one means perish. What does the second one mean? And boy, is this going to change your perspective on a whole lot. Second word, and then this is the one I think they should have used, but I think they might have been afraid, because I don't think they had the understanding back then. But the second word, vanished. Oh, well, now let me read it to you. The righteous vanish, no man layeth to heart, and the merciful men are taken away. Ooh. None considers that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Is he talking about the rapture? Is he prophesying about the... I believe he is. What a difference. Well, changed me. I'm saying, wow, no, there's no reference in the Old Testament that I know of. And my son said, oh, hold on. That word perishes. Yeah, I know the scripture. Yeah, but it has two meanings. I said, what do you mean? And he showed it to me and it blew my mind. It blew my mind. See, so you could cross out the word perisheth and put the other root word, which means vanish. The righteous vanish. And no man layeth it to heart. Why? What are we building up to in the end times? UFOs are coming to take away those who are not worthy to be evolved into a higher state of consciousness, a higher state of evolution. No man, oh yeah, we knew one day that the UFOs were going to come and remove those evil Christians from our presence. No man layeth it to heart, it says. Okay? None consider that the righteous is taken away. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, boom, we're gone. We're gone. None consider that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. What evil? Oh, well, we know 7 years. Every trump, every bowl, every trumpet call, all that God's going to pour out on the earth, we are taken away. He who, the Christian, he shall enter into peace. Peace. Peace beyond anything we've ever known. We will be at the marriage feast of the Lamb and shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. What uprightness? The righteousness of God. So, boy, did it give me a different perspective. Did it change the way I thought? Oh, without a doubt. One little word. Wow. Wow. So I often think, well, Lord, your word did that for me. Wow, all the things that I really, really needed to see, you definitely gave me here, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, here am I. Change me from glory to glory. Don't let me be stuck in my ways. Don't let me be stuck in that same thought pattern. Don't let me, that same heart pattern. Let your spirit override my spirit. And I often say, let me get out of the way. Do what you need to do in me. Let me experience what you need. Allow me to experience. I, oh God, desire your ways. My ways, man, your ways are so much higher than mine. And Lord, you're able to take this word and teach me so much, more than I ever thought I could ever learn. You can change my perspective. You can change my heart. But how many churches today, how many Christians are casting this off to the side, saying no longer are we going to believe that particular scripture. No longer are we going to believe those particular verses. You know, we're not going to believe any. We're going to believe the social agenda. We're going to believe that that's going to be our new mantra. That's going to be our new way. We're going to believe that. And it's the spirit of the age. It's the spirit of the age. See, when these churches, and when it does come, and it will come, when the things start turning sideways and stuff starts hitting the fan, and I say stuff, but you know what I mean, hits the fan, these churches are not going to be able to provide the peace and the safety and the things that they say. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction shall come. Sudden destruction, and they're not going to be able to provide them with a way of escape, because the only way of escape is the Word of God. Yet they've rejected and said, no longer will we believe this. Their social gospel will not bring peace, safety, or any type of salvation. This is the only salvation. Amen? The Word of God. The Word of God. Don't reject it. Don't reject it. Know it. Study it. Lord, change me. I need to be changed, Lord. And I really do thank my son that he showed me this. That I said, wow, you know, one little word.
I looked it up. Mine says it's removed.
Yeah.
Removed.
Yep. Yeah, let me get.
Are we going to be removed?
Oh boy, are we going to be removed? Yeah. So, this morning, get real with God. Get real with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I know I'm a bride in preparation for the bridegroom. I want change. Boy, did that change me. How much more is in the Word of God that will change us? How much more can the Holy Spirit do for each and every one of us if we would just simply say, Lord, here am I. Do what you need to do. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, through the name, through the blood of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who uses this great tool, this potter's wheel, to change us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that even when we become hard, you're able to break us and make something beautiful out of our lives. Father, I just pray, Lord, we keep on course. We keep on that track that you have us on, that we would reach that glory line, that finish line. Father, through the name, through the blood of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these that have come for that are hungry and thirsty, Lord, and that, Lord, they're going to go away filled with a new sense that God has not left us nor forsaken us, but he's changing us. And we pray it through the name, through the blood of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen.